You have your Bibles with you this morning. Turn with me back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, as we continue our look at the Ten Commandments. We have noted that these commands challenge us to resist the modern cultural assertion that intolerance is a dirty word. Though our culture promotes tolerance as the supreme virtue and considers the label intolerant to be a huge insult, the Ten Commandments remind us that to love anything, to be devoted to anything, to protect anything, demands that we be intolerant of that which misleads, that which corrupts, that which hurts, that which destroys. In our study of the Ten Commandments, we have discovered that if we love God supremely, we won't tolerate any gods before the Lord. God will be the priority of our lives, the object of our worship, the focus of our devotion, and the guide for our daily decisions. Idolatry won't be tolerated. And if we honor God, we won't tolerate irreverence toward God in our attitudes, in our words, and in our actions. Anything that fails to properly honor the name of the Lord will be resisted and rejected. It won't be tolerated. And if we're devoted to God, we won't tolerate indifference toward God in our hearts and in our lives. We'll observe the principle of Sabbath, setting aside regular time that is holy and dedicated to the Lord. And anything that tempts us to neglect God and what matters most will be rejected and resisted. It won't be tolerated. Well, this morning we move on to the fifth commandment in a sermon I've entitled The Intolerance of Insolence. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 reads, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord God gives you." Well, these words are a little bit refreshing to me, particularly in a world and culture that is increasingly characterized by arrogance, rudeness, and disrespectful behavior. We would do well to return to this vital command, a command that is concerned with the welfare and stability of the most basic foundational institution in society, the family. So we are told, honor your father and your mother. Now, if we honor those entrusted with our care, we won't tolerate a spirit of insolence. We'll refuse to allow a stubborn, disrespectful, and rebellious spirit to take root in our hearts, and we'll make sure a spirit of honor and respect prevails. Now, such intolerance of insolence demands that we submit to the authority of others. Verse 16 says, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you." Now notice this command offers no distinction between father and mother. However patriarchal Hebrew society may have been, the father and the mother were accorded equal status and honor. Now today, our legal guardians may be parents, may be a father, a mother, grandparents, or even others. But it's in the home that we are intended to learn to submit to authority. This command is vital because submission goes against our natural predispositions. Our childish, prideful selfishness is impatient with authority. We don't like to be told what to do. We don't like to be made to do anything. I remember growing up as a child thinking in the back of my mind, I wish I was on my own so I could do whatever I wanted to do. Now today, our modern version of this command inverts it. To parents, obey your children. Because there's going to be a fit if you don't. Some other form of manipulation. But this command demands an attitude of respect and obedience. Now, modern therapists tell us that because I said so is not a good reason to give a child. We are told to patiently explain in detail the rationale behind every rule and instruction. Now, don't get me wrong. As children grow up, more information is helpful, and an explanation can help them understand. But when I was five and under, my parents thought because I said so was good enough. I mean, I may not have understood their instruction. I may not have agreed with it. I may not have liked it. But I learned to submit to the fact that they might know more than I did, could see what I couldn't see, and had understanding of that which I didn't yet understand. But we have been creating a world in which we think everything is subject to our understanding, our agreement, our wants, our perspective, or our concerns. We have not learned to submit. As modern parents, we are told to reason and rationalize with an irrational three-year-old who's throwing a fit about not wanting to go to the dentist. But at some point, we don't need a 15-minute lesson on the effects of gingivitis. We just need to snatch him up, strap him in the car seat, and get on the road. You see, as we grow up, a boss is not going to care if we grasp the reasons behind or agree with his instructions. An officer won't care if we understand or agree with the law. And nature can be the most ruthless of teachers. What happens when people disregard warning signs and get too close to a buffalo? Well, this summer on our family vacation, we went on a bear hunt in Alaska. When we got off the bus, we went on the hike, and we were met by men in red jackets, and many of them had guns. And they told us, if we instruct you to do something, do as we say immediately. Well, we took the path, we viewed from the lookout points, but we didn't see a bear. And there's that point in the summer, the salmon weren't coming up, and so we asked one of the guides, how often do people on these trips see a bear? And they said, at this time of year, since the salmon aren't coming, about 1 in 10. I thought, we're on a snipe hunt. And sure enough, we finished the route, and we headed back up to the place where the bus was going to pick us up. And there those guides met us with their red vests and their guns, and they said, everyone, back down the path. Back down the path. Well, guess what? Some of us were very slow in moving away because we were moving to see what they were talking about. After all, that's why we were there. We wanted to see a bear, right? Well, the guides became much more emphatic that we get back down the path as soon as possible. And they later explained that the bear that was coming down the road had been particularly aggressive in the past. They knew more than we did. And they demanded submission for our protection and so that they wouldn't have to shoot the bear. Now, our experience ended much better than the experience of a young man named Colin Scott. 23-year-old college graduate died after falling into a thermal hot spring in Yellowstone National Park. Scott and his sister had deviated from the designated boardwalk and entered a restricted section of the park with the intention of going hot potting, which is their attempt to get in the water and bathe in those pools. Well, they got off the path. They went into that restricted area. Scott bent down to test the temperature of the water, and the ground collapsed underneath him. He fell into water that was 199 degrees. His sister couldn't reach him and went immediately for help. When park officials arrived at the scene, they were able to spot his body, but the extreme heat of the spring, along with incoming lightning, prevented immediate recovery of his body. By the following day, the high temperatures and the extremely acidic water had dissolved his body, leaving only a few personal belongings, such as his wallet and flip-flops. You see, failure to submit can be deadly. It can be costly. It can be devastating. And consider for a moment where that approach leads in relationship to God and His instruction. Verse 6 says, "Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you." If we don't learn to submit to those responsible for us in the home, we'll tend to dismiss anything we don't understand, anything we don't like, anything we don't understand, anything we don't agree with. And the end result, particularly related to God, we end up sitting in judgment on God's word rather than allowing God's word to sit in judgment on us. We dismiss whatever we don't understand, whatever doesn't suit us, whatever we don't like. Now, while we do need to learn, we need to consider, we need to pray, discern, and decide, we also need to learn to submit, even if we don't agree or understand completely. Years ago, a bumper sticker came out that read, "God said it, I believe it, that settles it." Dad never liked that bumper sticker. He said it should have been, "God said it, that settles it." Because God's commands demand submission regardless of our understanding of it, belief in it, agreement with it, or liking of it. But submission to authority has to be learned. It does not come natural. Our childish, prideful selfishness has to learn submission. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, in his discussion of family responsibilities, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." And notice here the Apostle Paul recalled the fifth commandment. And when he does so, he equates honor with obedience. Now, this principle of submission is so significant that we find these words in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21. "If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear it and fear." Though rebellious children are not often put to death in our culture, we still witness the painfully tragic stories of individuals who remain stubborn and rebellious. They may not be stoned, but they still bring trouble on themselves and pain and dishonor to their parents by their refusal to listen and submit. And notice that submission to authority is for our benefit. Back in Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, he says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you." You see, this command, like all of the commands, are given for our good. Because demonstrating respect holds the key to nurturing stability in the family and society. Submission, obedience, accountability, those things will be our best friends if we will willingly embrace them. Selfishness, pride, these things resist accountability and submission. They're determined to go their own way and do their own thing. But accountability offers so much protection. I tell you, I'm on Life 360 with my family. The boys, we put it on them in high school, and thankfully, I don't know if they ever thought about it, but they haven't taken it off through all their college. But we're on there, we can look and we can see where each one of us is. Cassie, our administrative assistant, knows where I am during office hours. Somebody calls, somebody comes by, they can say, "Where's the pastor today?" He's out visiting. He's at the hospital. He's at a meeting. Kay knows my plans and my passwords. Everything is transparent. Now, I'm no longer a child, but I have learned that if my desire is to do right and honor God, submission, obedience, and accountability are things to be embraced, not things to be resisted. And the minute we start to think to ourselves, "How can I avoid or get around accountability?" we're asking for trouble. So this command reminds us that our own self-interest support honoring, obeying, and submitting to those entrusted with our care. And the intolerance of insolence also leads us to appreciate the help of others. To honor others is to recognize and appreciate what they do. You see, anyone can become entitled. Anyone can become ungrateful, selfish, and spoiled. Any one of us can begin to take a lot for granted. If our parents feed us, shelter us, and clothe us, we can assume, well, that's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. We can take their provision, their care, their presence, and their support for granted, expecting more and more. But to honor them is to recognize and appreciate their sacrifices. Because chances are, if our needs are provided and any opportunities are given, it's because people close to us have made countless sacrifices to see to it. To honor those who care for us means that we appreciate them. We recognize what they've given up, the effort they have made, the adjustments that they have willingly embraced, and the sleepless nights that they've endured on our behalf. And to honor them is to appreciate their wisdom. The adults in our lives are people of knowledge and experience. And life is funny. You know, we often start out life as little children thinking that our parents know everything. But most of us reach a time in our lives when we think we know it all. The summer after my freshman year in college, I went to be a summer youth intern in a church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And when I left, Dad told me not to date. Don't worry about Dayton. Just focus on what you're doing, why you're supposed to be there. Well, once there, I was at that age. I dismissed his advice as old-fashioned and outdated. I figured times have changed. I can tell you that I spent far too much time and energy on a dating relationship, and I came home a much more receptive and teachable young man. You see, maturity involves recognizing the sacrifices and appreciating the wisdom that comes to us through those who have been there before us. To honor others is to appreciate them, to acknowledge their sacrifices, and to appreciate their wisdom. And the intolerance of insolence leads us to attend to the needs of others. You know, as little ones, we start out completely dependent on our parents, crying when we're wet and screaming when we're hungry. Everything revolves around us. What we feel, what we want, what we face, what we're going through, what we have going. But parents have needs as well. And it's quite shocking as we grow up to discover our parents are not superhuman. They have struggles. They have fears. They have needs. But we show that we're growing to maturity when we're no longer focused exclusively on ourselves, our needs, and can see the needs of others. Because to honor is to reciprocate help. A sign of maturity is when those on the receiving end learn not only to give respect and appreciation, that give support and help as well. You know, one of the most precious times in my life was as my parents got older. Dad got to the point where he couldn't drive. But Mom loved to go to the beauty shop every Friday. Every Friday. Well, guess what? That just happened to be my day off. So I drive from Colorado City to Abilene, pick up Mom and Dad because he liked to go and sit while she got her hair done. And I'd take him to the beauty shop. And gradually he got to the point where he couldn't do her medications. So I got to do the medications. And the last thing that he gave up was the finances. I took those over, began to handle those for him. And never thought a thing about it. Because of everything that I knew they had done. I remember one time he was sitting there and he said, "How about I see that checkbook?" I gave it back to him. Everything checked out. You know, instead of a source of trouble, instead of incessant demands, instead of childish ingratitude, instead of endless stress, constant tension, children are intended to be a source of joy, a source of partnership, and a source of mutual support, where what has been given is given in return. Now, in practical terms, at the time this command was given, to honor one's parents included making provision for their care in their old age. Because they had no Social Security back then. They had no care facilities. So the care for the aged fell to the children. This command, like the ones to follow, is directly concerned with social life, with the family's good, with the community's well-being. And it addresses some of the most important and foundational issues plaguing our contemporary world. As children, we are to learn respect, appreciation, and helpfulness. It says, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you." Our concern to honor those entrusted with our care is rooted in the concern to honor God. Put another way, honoring our parents is a practical and concrete way in which God is honored. And this command has far-reaching consequences for the life of individuals and society as well. It says, honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. You see, the fifth commandment is a foundation for healthy and happy families, for the stability of a complex society. But folks, it's much more than that. This command forms part of the structure and fabric of our own relationship with God. It nurtures a spirit of willing submission, of appreciation, and helpful service. Do you see a world in need of a return to and an embracing of this command? Do you see the rudeness and disrespect so prevalent in our culture? Can you see how such submission can train us to trust and obey the Lord? Have you done on these commands that we've covered so far? Putting God first. No idolatry, no compromise. Maintaining the Sabbath principle, honoring God's name. You know, these commands do not lead us to salvation. They point us to our need for Jesus. They lead us to acknowledge our need for His grace and mercy, that we might turn anew in trusting submission to God. This morning, have you done so? Have you said, God, man, I stumble all the time. I fall short of what you called us to. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need what you've done for us in Christ Jesus. And perhaps that's the point where you are this morning. You need that saving relationship with God that He's provided, not through the law, but through Christ Jesus. Or perhaps this morning, you're a person of faith. But if we're people of faith, then we are moved to obey the law, not for salvation, but out of obedience and submission to the Lord. And in a world of disrespect and self-will, are we, as God's people, submitting to the authority of others? Appreciating the help of others, attending to the needs of others. Are we honoring those to whom we've been entrusted? Perhaps this morning God is leading you to a more faithful walk with Him in these most foundational of relationships. To say, God, I want to honor those around me. I want to treat others with the proper respect and dignity. Those you put over, I want to be able to submit to, appreciate, and come alongside and help. And maybe as a person of faith, God is leading you to that renewal, to honor those entrusted with your care as the Lord your God has commanded you. Or perhaps this morning God is leading you to a church home to say, man, I need to nurture my relationship with the Lord. I need to learn more about what He requires from me as a person who confesses faith. And maybe this morning God is leading you to partner with us to say, I need that place. I need that support. I need that ongoing instruction. Perhaps God is leading you to join with us here. However, God may be leading you to respond with a calling on Him and for grace for the first time, renewing a commitment, or joining with us. I invite you to respond John's going to come and lead us in our hymn of invitation. Would you stand together as we sing? Trust and obey.